Hallelujah. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John chapter 5, and we will commence our reading at verse 16, John chapter 5 and verse 16. If you have a church Bible, it's on page 943, and we're just looking at Israel and the end times. This is the fourth in a short series of five. John 5, verse 16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought all of the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. But whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honour the Son, just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming to which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I, Jesus says, have a greater witness than John's. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form, but you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify me of me, Jesus says. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honour from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honour from one another and do not seek the honour that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote about me, Jesus says. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? This is the word of God. Last week we just mentioned, one of the things we mentioned about the everlasting covenants that God has made to Abraham, and then Isaac and Jacob, and if his everlasting is everlasting, praise be to his name. He has also promised to you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that you have everlasting life, eternal life. Keep on believing. Hallelujah. God doesn't break his word. May we not break ours. Glory to his name. Now, the Bible is clear that God considers a Jew to be a person who has the same faith as Abraham had. God considers a real Jew as someone who has a real believing faith. Faith in the one true God. That's a real Jew. Jesus explained, did he not, that if we believe Abraham and the faith that Abraham had, that we would then know him, Jesus. Just turn over the pages to John chapter 8. There's a big discourse here in John chapter 8. And the amazing immortal words that, because Jesus was having a sort of a dialogue and a debate with those who thought they knew better than him, and just could not understand that Jesus said, well, before Abraham was, I was. Because Jesus is basically saying, I am the Word. I am the Messiah. I am with God. I was with God in the beginning. I am eternity. I am the one Abraham looked forward to. I am the Messiah. I'm not blaspheming when I say I and my Father are one. That's what they hated. That's why he was killed. That's why most, or in fact all religions, all cults and all sects fall short and cannot glorify God, because they deny Jesus is the one sent from God, that he is God, he is the Messiah. Only true Christians believe that Christ is the eternal one sent from God. And when he says, believe in me and you will have life, believe in me and you will be saved, it's because you're believing in the one true God and believing in the one God sent to die for sinners. To die that we might be forgiven. So which God are you believing in? I opened last week's sermon by saying, hey, I really do feel that those who say there is no God are in some ways better off than those who believe in some other God. So, what do we read in John chapter 8? Well, here we have in verse 56 of John chapter 8, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. The apostles in the New Testament clearly taught, I believe, that real Jews are those who acknowledge Jesus as the rightful Messiah, as the promised one, the one who was prophesied would come to bring salvation. He came to bring salvation to the Jews. They rejected him. So we Gentiles were, as it were, grafted into Jesus. Hallelujah. The branches, Israel was cut off for a time. But one day, soon, they will be grafted back in, and all Israel will be saved. Well, friends, may the salvation of the Gentiles cause them to be jealous and turn to the one whom they have pierced as we have pierced. How important it is. As I said last week, some people who say they love Israel don't love Israel. A, because they may have made Israel a god instead of Jesus. Or B, they love them so much they're not even giving them the gospel. They need the gospel. The Jew needs the gospel as much as the Muslim, as much as the pagan, as much as the very nice British person living next door. We need saving. And Jesus is the one who can deliver us from our hell. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. So the apostles in the New Testament clearly said Jesus is the rightful Messiah. If you believed Moses, Jesus says, you should believe me, for Moses wrote of me. So what I'm suggesting, friends, we spoke about the land, and I said last week that the promise that God gave to Abraham and his descendants and gave them the boundaries of the land, which was to be theirs, we as believers in Christ Jesus and who love the Jew and who do love Israel and believe that God's purposes are for them as they are for the Church of Jesus Christ, we shouldn't get too het up on the political scene. We shouldn't. And I say again, to avoid confusion, because I know that folk listen to the sermon and perhaps are listening to this one and haven't listened to the others, that much of what Israel does politically, etc., morally, falls far short. Why? Because they're largely in ignorance still. But for the real Jew, if they are to expect to continue living in Israel, they must know the God of Israel, just as their forefathers did. And I believe this is where the current problems in the Middle East really do come to a focus. Israel's current believing people are in the minority. They're still the real Messianic Jew, the Jew who believes in Jesus Christ, has accepted his terms of salvation, recognize that he came to save them, and they have put their trust in him, and now have eternal life. Those who are truly Messianic, believing in Christ the Messiah, are a remnant in Israel. The nation as a whole is a secular state, is it not? And even the Orthodox religious community, by and large, is only nominally religious. The great majority of the Jews openly reject Jesus. They openly reject him. They are quite unwilling to discuss the possibility that he might have something to say to them and to their generation today. So in a sense, the people now living in Israel do not have a real right to live there in their unrepentant state. Because Israel has failed to fulfill her calling to be an example to the world of what it means to be a holy people dedicated to God. They have to date not fulfilled that calling. Can you not see God's mercy at work though? Can't you? For your reference, those who are making notes, you may want to look up Leviticus chapter 20, for example. Verses 20 to 24, well, 25 and 26, they are good verses to look up for your leisure, at your leisure. Praise God, there are believing Israelis, there are believing Arabs, God is building his church in Israel, what we know as Israel. Hallelujah. He is building his church. There are people being saved who are embracing Jesus Christ. They're humbling themselves at the foot of the cross of Jesus and saying, not my way, but yours. I'm a sinner. You're the Saviour. You are Christ. You are the God. I'm trusting you. You died for my sins. Your blood that was spilt cleanses me. And Jesus says, the God of Israel says, your faith has saved you. You're mine. That's happening in Israel. It's happening all over the world. Isn't that amazing? This isn't religion. This is a relationship with God through Jesus. Come to give my life as a ransom for many. Glory to his name. So there are, praise God, some believing, Christ, Holy Spirit-filled Jews in Israel today. But on the whole, Israel remains as godless as Britain does. God's chosen people living once again, and this is a miracle, living once again in the promised land in fulfillment of many specific biblical promises. We gave you references last week. We looked at a few of them on Wednesday evening. They refuse, these people largely refuse to honour the Lord in their daily lives. They fail to honour the God of their fathers. They fail to honour the one who's doing the very miracle in their midst. And even in the present distress related to Gaza and Lebanon, etc., the vast majority of Israelis trust in their own arms. They trust in their own determination instead of trusting in the one. I can get my arm up. Instead of trusting in the one who has promised to protect them and deliver them. Hallelujah. You see, friends, most Jews worldwide still are awaiting the Messiah's first coming. They're unaware that he has already come and he was rejected and crucified. We just read in John chapter 5 and verse 43, he says, I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Tragically, folks, tragically, it will be at Armageddon for the surviving Jews to repent and turn to the God of Israel, to embrace the one who has come in the Father's name. The Bible talks about a great day of distress that is coming. And in that greatest distress ever faced by Israel, God declares in Zechariah chapter 13, I'm giving you these notes so you can just make a note and look them up. God declares that in their greatest distress, that one third will he bring alive through the fire, refined, as silver is refined, as gold is tried. And they shall call on the name of the Lord and be saved. When they see with their own eyes as Christ returns, when they see with their own eyes the Messiah, the one whom they pierced, that's come to rescue them and deliver them from the shame that they are in, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son and grieve for him. A great mourning in Jerusalem, Zechariah 12 speaks of. Zechariah 12 verse 10, and in fact right through to verse 14, speaks of such day. Why such mourning? Why such extreme sorrow? Well, I believe that when Israel sees her God coming in this form, coming to her rescue, coming as the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, returning from where he is at present, back to earth, when they see him coming to their rescue, it will become painfully clear that he has been to earth before. It will become painfully clear. All of a sudden, the veil will be removed. And they will see the one whom they rejected and who was pierced to death. In fact, Jesus echoes the words of the prophets when they said to the inhabitants of at Jerusalem that he was being brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Isaiah 53. He says, "For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Then I believe at last they will understand the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and all Israel shall be saved. Romans 11, verse 26. We looked at Romans 11 2 weeks ago. And they will be rescued by the Messiah. The God of Israel declares in Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10, they will look on him. They will look on me whom they have pierced. I say again, if you wonder why I'm speaking on this at this time, you cannot understand what is going on in the world. You cannot understand the prophetic timetable unless you have some understanding of Israel and the Jew. You cannot. The Jews in Israel today are in big trouble. They are in big trouble with the God of Israel. Big, big trouble with the God of Israel. They are not calling on the God who owns even the land that they are living in. They're ignoring the great lessons that the Old Testament could teach them about this. Is it any wonder that God is turning the heat up on them? I think that the Bible again makes it clear that they are God's representative people. They are God's representative nation, and God expects his people to represent Yahweh, God, as he really is, as we should, as believers in Jesus. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah. He is the Savior of the world. His death on the cross was for all mankind, Jew, Gentile, whoever. He died that we might live. Anyone, anywhere, from any background, may come to Jesus and be welcomed forever into his family. The Son of Man, Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We're crying that the Jews will be saved, that they will look upon the one whom they've rejected. But what about you? Have you really called on the name of Jesus? Do you accept him as the one sent from God, who alone can take away your sin, who alone can give you peace, who alone can free you from condemnation? If the guilt is weighing heavy upon you, it's Jesus who can remove that even now. Look to Jesus, the one who hung on the cross, gave his life, such a cruel death that you might not die. Whatever good works you've done, however nice a person you may have been, is still not good enough. As you've sinned against God as I have. And you've not loved him with all of your heart, soul and mind all the days of your life. You've been proud, arrogant. You put other things before God. Your thing, not God's. But now is the day of salvation. He can put it right. Now and forever. It's the same gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the cross. Is powerful, is life in the blood that was spilled for you. There was enough for the Jew, there's enough for you. Hallelujah. What a God we serve. He's not willing that any should perish, but that you should come to repentance. That's love. Did not come to condemn the world. He's come to save. This is Christ. Look, why did he choose Israel? Why did he choose the Jew to be a prophetic voice? Not, the Bible makes it absolutely clear, not because they were lovely people, not because they smelt nice, not because they were good looking, not because they were powerful or anything like that. He just chose because he's God. You may argue with that. Okay, argue with God. But that's why he's God and you're you. He's your creator. Why did he choose you? Why did he choose me? I don't know. Nothing good about me, that's for sure. But that's his grace. That's his mercy. Why was I made to hear his voice? I don't know. But I'm so thankful for it. And I want others to hear the same gospel. Religion will never save you. Acts of denial will not save you. Doing the shopping for every old person, however commendable it is in your streets, will not save you. But belief on Jesus Christ, saying, I'm a sinner, I deserve death. But you have come that I might not only be freed from the guilt of my sin, freed from the error of my ways, I can now live for you because you come and indwell me. I can now live for the glory of God. Yes, I'm going to get attacked. I'm even going to stumble and fall at times. But I trust in the God of grace. He is mine. And he's prepared something so wonderful that even Scripture has some difficulty in detailing how amazing it's going to be when we forever see the Lord. It's beyond our comprehension now. But we have glimpses of it here below. We have eternity. We have heaven within our hearts. Hallelujah. And it's wonderful. What manner of things he's... The manner of love that he has bestowed on you and me, that we should be called the children of God. He's lavished his love upon you. Not because you're special in yourselves. But he just loves. And he wants you to become his precious possession. Just as he still aches and longs for the Jew. Jesus is the Savior of the world. It's time to get right with God. He is merciful. Well, friends, what is obvious in the media today and from the statements of most world leaders is that almost everyone does hate the Jews. They will support the Arabs and the Muslims in the not-so-subtle plans to own all of the land and to drive the Jews out forever. But God's in control. Hallelujah. His promises are being fulfilled. They will be fulfilled. Glory to his name. And friends, any man, any woman, any nation who opposes Israel will find themselves in opposition to God. I don't want to be an enemy of God any longer. I really don't. I was an enemy of God. While I was still his enemy, he saved me. He had mercy on me. I don't want to become his enemy again. This is why these studies, which Alex was referring to earlier, are so important for those who really want to know and to remain in the faith, to examine themselves. It's so assuring when you know that you are the Lord's. We need these scriptures. We need to encourage one another and bless one another so that we remain in that narrow way. That we remain in the faith. Hallelujah. Praise God that God defends his people. Isaiah chapter 37. I will get there in a moment. About Sennacherib, the baddie king, and He wanted to destroy Israel. He succeeded to a large extent, but he couldn't get Jerusalem. Hezekiah prayed. God defends, and he will continue to defend. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Yes, God does have a big problem with his people Israel. He has a huge problem with them, but he will bring his purposes to pass no matter what it takes. And we have some very serious things in the Word of God, which does tell us what it may take and will take, even another world war and their almost extermination. Another chapter you may like to read is Joel chapter 3, Joel chapter 3. God has elected to save Israel. This is the sovereign choosing of Yahweh. God may, as it were, have a huge problem in bringing Israel back to himself after thousands of years of rebellion. But his problem is his problem, not ours. Just turn as we conclude to Zechariah chapter 12, page 840 in your church Bibles. Zechariah chapter 12. See, terrible times are coming, but hey, those who are the Lord's have nothing to fear. They have nothing to fear. The enemy may come in like a flood, but watch out, God will push the enemy back for you. Zechariah chapter 12, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all of the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. Friends, the final redemption will soon be here. Listen, the world cannot have peace. The world will not know peace, real peace, lasting peace, until Israel is reconciled to their God. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And as commendable as it is, friends, and I certainly do not knock them, those efforts of the peacemakers will fail until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is directly involved. And frankly, it is very dangerous for any nation, any people, to entangle in what is God's business. Israel will become the chief of all nations. Jesus will return to Israel. He will reign. He will rule from the Davidic throne in Jerusalem, the throne of David, his father David. Getting from where we are today in history to that great day. Oh, that wonderful song. Perhaps we can sing it in conclusion, Ryan, the blessed one. The King is coming. Hallelujah. From here to that day, yes, friends, when Christ takes his rightful place, to that great day, there will be terrible suffering for the Jews. And it's what lies ahead is called Jacob's trouble. And the near destruction of most of mankind will take place between now and then as well. That is why it's so imperative that you and your friends' family find peace and shelter in God. Because you will be protected. You will be delivered. Hallelujah. But then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. And if those days had not been shortened, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. Or who said that? Jesus. Better take notice. World leaders are obviously very concerned about the present Middle East conflict. And yes, it will escalate. There may be a time of relative peace, but it will escalate. No one knows, friends, stop date setting. No one knows the final timing of these events. But I believe the evidence in the Bible is that we are now moving rapidly towards the end of the age. Our final reading is Revelation chapter 19. Jesus says, look, I've told you these things, believers, that you don't fear. I've told you these things. You must know, because you, my believers, have to be a prophetic voice. You have to make these truths known. You have to teach your fellow believers. This is another reason, Alex didn't mention this morning, but the studies that we're having is open to all seriously minded Christians, whether in this church or elsewhere. This is why we're extending the library. This is why you and I have to know the God, to know these things, to understand the eschatology. The end times. So being prepared ourselves that we will stand when others are crumbling and falling, but we will rescue others. We are to be a light. We are to be a light. We are to be a lighthouse. I still want people around me to speak the truth in my life, because it's the truth which sets us free. Dark days are coming. But we who know the Lord, he will keep, he will protect. Revelation 19, verse 17. It's a terrible day of the Lord to those who are not in Christ. But if you are in Christ, it's a welcome day. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. I tell you, friend, I want to be on God's side. I really do. There's a horrible day coming for those who are not. This is why I urge you again, stay in the Word. Stay in relationship with Jesus. Stay in unity with your brothers and sisters. Stay faithful to the Lord, and you have nothing to fear. Do not, that word came, it was a personal word, but it's a word for you as well. Do not fear, neither be dismayed. I am your God. I am here to be with you and to deliver you. The age we live in is a time of great deception, isn't it? Jesus said, again, Matthew 24:25, get the words of Jesus in you. Jesus said that there will be times of great deception and so, and there will be times, we're living in times of great ignorance. And unfortunately, the internet is full of crazy, nutty people with all sorts of crazy things on the end times. Let me just quote from Acts chapter 17 as I finish. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands men everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, that man, Christ Jesus. And this he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. A biblically sound worldview is something each of us needs to build for him and herself. One day there will be a so-called peace treaty in the Middle East. Read Daniel 9 and surrounding chapters. But it will be a false peace. And there will be the last great war. Then Jesus himself, Israel's king and yours, the saviour of all who believe, will be back to rebuild a ruined planet and to set up his kingdom on earth, which he has promised. Let's just read the final scripture. This is the last final. Ezekiel chapter 39. Because I want you to go back out with hope. Obviously, if you're still in darkness, you won't have hope, you won't have peace. But God wants to give you that peace. If you surrender your life to the Lord even now, he will give you that peace. But if you know Jesus, even though you may not understand many things, and some of what I've said today you've got to study and some may have gone over your head, don't worry. Just get some of these truths in you, that you do want all the days that God is giving you on earth to follow him wholeheartedly, to believe on him. Ezekiel 39 and verse 21. I will set my glory, page 769. I will set my glory among the nations, all the nations to see my judgment which I have executed, and my hand which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel, the congregation of Israel, shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. The Gentiles shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they were unfaithful to me. Therefore I hid my face from them. I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell by the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I have dealt with them and have hidden my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now I will bring back the captives of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel. And I will be jealous for my holy name, after they have borne their shame and all their unfaithfulness, in which they were unfaithful to me, when they dwelt safely in their own land, and no one made them afraid. When I brought them back from the peoples, and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and I am hallowed in them, in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land, and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them any more, for I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Amen.